You know, we love any excuse to watch great reality TV. So, with the weather heating up, while chartering a luxury yacht might be a little out of reach, we can still get our fix by binge watching all seasons and spin-offs of Below Deck available on Hayu.
The first all-reality subscription service of its kind, Hayu gives you access to every episode and every season of a wide range of captivating reality TV franchises. Plus, you can watch brand new episodes available the same day they air in the U.S. without ads. It's pretty awesome.
And if you're looking for a new series to dive into, Below Deck is the perfect choice. Tune in for a fresh yachty drama on brand new episodes of Below Deck Mediterranean, airing now. And once you're hooked, revisit classic seasons of all the franchises, including Below Deck Sailing Yacht, Adventure, and Down Under, all available on Hayu.
You know that we've watched every single episode of Below Deck. We have not only watched them, we've talked about them endlessly. We obsess over them.
Below Deck is so good, and it is such an amazing source of petty drama. If you're not watching it, you're really missing out.
Slide into summer with Below Deck. New episodes airing now.
Watch all seasons and spin-offs of Below Deck on Hayu. That's HAYU.com.
She was a romance mystery writer.
They gloated on the fact that she writes stories like this.
There are murders in all of the books.
From Wondery, the makers of Ghost Story and Theta, this is a story about a murder that rocked my little community. Binge all episodes of Happily Never After ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, broadcasting from Hollywood, California, and joining me from his car office, or as I like to call it, his coffis, it's Mr. Ronnie Karam. How are you, Ronnie?
Hi, Ben. I'm great. I'm here in Studio City, California, in a car. It's lovely. I'm going to turn on the ignition and just slowly choke to death throughout this recap.
Ronnie has construction going on in his house, so he's gone into his Melissa Gorga recording booth.
AKA his car. Also, somebody said, why don't you just record at Ben's house if you're in the same city? Listen, do you know how much easier this is, rolling out of bed stinky and not having to do this round? Ben and I agree. Two out of two podcasters agree. Rolling out of bed stinky is the way to go if you can, even if you're doing it from a car. Okay, but we sure do love hanging out with each other, and we'll probably do that the rest of the week.
Yeah, people don't realize also, one does not just simply say, you know what, I'm just going to cross the hill today. I'm going to go from Studio City to Hollywood. In Los Angeles, it is hard to do things. Ronnie and I used to live like a mile from each other. We were just down the road, and we still didn't get together to podcast.
Still didn't do it. Yeah, it was exhausting.
And I've been, honestly, it's been like, what, a week and a half or so that I've been trying to go over the hill to see your house. I still haven't made it over, because going over the hill is hard, people. So... Don't give
it
Ronnie,
is hard. Don't give let me grief. Tell you, now being on the other side of it, I don't want to go to your side either.
Yeah.
I went this week and I was like, oh, what a bunch of highfalutin motherfuckers over here on the other side of the hill. You guys think you're so great over there. Everything's so much more expensive. The parking spaces are tinier. Fuck you guys. You know, fuck you guys. I like it over here. I went to four Home Goods in one day over here.
Well,
four,
I went,
sir.
Guess what? I went across over the hill actually over the weekend. And it was 150 degrees on your side of the hill.
It was not.
It was boiling hot. And also, I couldn't find a parking spot. So all that talk about parking spots, I'm not sure. I'm not sure it was worth it.
Well, I don't know. But listen, no matter what side of the hill I'm on, I'm staying inside at my house. And yeah, we all know that. So it doesn't really matter to me. But here we are with an episode of Real Housewives of New Jersey. As usual, you can catch this on Crappens On Demand, which is a video. Hi. Yeah. Or you can just get it audio the way you're doing it right now. We also do bonuses on Patreon every week. Those are super fun. So go check those out. Let's get to it.
Oh, we also have to, don't forget, we are doing recaps of House of the Dragon. So if you want to listen to our recaps of that, they're going to be here on Watch Your Crappens. And also, if you just only care about Game of Thrones coverage, or maybe there's someone in your life who likes Game of Thrones but doesn't like Bravo. I can't imagine that happens, but oddly enough, it does.
Tell them to subscribe to Winter's Crappening, and that way they get nothing but pure, undiluted House of the Dragon coverage. So keep your ears out. We're going to be recording that after we record this episode.
Yeah. So here we are with another
most controversial episode of the year. The episode that changed everything on The Real Housewives of New Jersey, possibly forever. Have we ever seen such violence, such cruelty, such...
Everybody, get the fuck over yourselves online. I can't with you people from Real Housewives of New Jersey fandom acting like,
the violence, I've never...
Really? You've never? Have you watched this show? Because it literally happens every single year. And you guys need to stop clutching your fucking pearls. Stop clutching your fake ass pearls in the Real Housewives of New Jersey universe. Get over yourselves. This is Jersey. What we do is hit each other and throw cheese balls at each other. Can we just get over? Or cheese cubes, I mean, sorry. I mishandled the cheese balls too.
Melissa
Gorga.
Cheese balls too.
Cheese balls too. Let's stop acting like we've never seen this and this is the worst thing to ever happen on television, please. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah. We have seen. A glass breaks every season. They were in Italy. They were in a nice restaurant in Italy, and Teresa took a glass and threw it against the restaurant wall.
That was the worst. When Teresa actually broke the glass against the wall. What about the cake being thrown, which was also Teresa, wasn't it? Or was that Melissa? Both of them throwing that cake across the restaurant that Siggy Flicker got.
How about Joe and Joe wrestling each other in a couples retreat?
Yeah.
That was actual physical violence. I mean, this is physical violence too, but that was like full on body on body violence there. Like, this show has seen it. The table flip, but everyone loved the table flip. The table flip is an actual violent act. Okay. This show has a history of throwing shit against walls, against people, against each other. So the fact that people are outraged, I mean, it's wild because it's been with us all this time.
Yeah, I mean, and look, obviously violence and hitting each other is not great. And it's especially not great on Housewives because, like, come on. Like, can we keep these shows on the air? I love these shows. I don't want it to degenerate into complete chaos and nonsense. It's just the reactions from people are so hypocritical. Like, you guys, we've been watching Jersey for years and years, and people are literally like, I can't believe it. I called for every single person to be fired. I mean, it was a push and a smack. Now, the smack, that wasn't glass. That was plastic. Hmm. So I don't know. We'll get to it later. Violence is never good. It's just the level of outrage is, I think,
maybe very sanctimonious
for fans
this.
From this show. Yeah. There's
people
a lot
are very
of
sanctimonious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, like, people are very sanctimonious, like, on the one. And also people have to choose a lane. People are like, on the one hand, like, shows are so boring. They're like not even doing anything. And then something like this happens. It's like, fire them all. It's like, okay. I mean, like, admittedly, you don't have to, like, resort to violence and a physical fight, you know, in order to make a show interesting. There are a lot of other things that can happen way before it. But it is sometimes I do feel like, are we just like pushing these shows to this point? Like, maybe we as an audience should also chill out a little bit and just like enjoy things for what they are.
I'm not taking the blame for the decline of the world. I think that we can do that with anything. Like, is humanity the one? Is it humanity's fault for pushing this to the brink of blah blah blah? I mean, sure, okay, like humans suck, but at the end of the day, I blame these people for making a good show or a bad show. You know, I give them the credit for a good show or the blame for making a bad show. I ain't taking responsibility for shit. I pay my YouTube TV bill and I sit here every week. Okay, you guys do the rest.
Right. I have to say though, by the way, I pay
my taxes.
You pay your taxes. You should not have to endure the indignity of being accused of ruining the Real House of New Jersey.
Exactly. I'm not taking that on.
You know, I will say that I think this show is actually doing, believe it or not, maybe this is a hot take, I think this show is doing actually a pretty good job of filming around in like an irreparable rift that's happening between Melissa and Teresa and their assorted camps. You know, unlike Potomac, which were people like Giselle and Candace did not want to film with each other at all. And there was like this really, or you had also Wendy and you had NECA and you had these, so much of the shows were about not wanting to film with each other, not want to be around each other. And you sit there and you listen to these people say, you're just sort of like, ugh, at least with New Jersey, I think what I like is they don't even bother saying, if she's there, I'm not there. If she's there. They just like, okay, this week, This week is a Teresa party, so the people who are down with Teresa will be there. Last week was a Melissa party. We do the Melissa things. And it's just like we're able to kind of like oddly go forward with this dual camp situation in a way that I think by and large kind of works considering how dysfunctional it is behind the scenes.
Well, I think what also helps it is that this show is more cartoonish and the characters are funnier even if they're not together. I mean, even if it's just Marge shooting alone, it's Marge, you know, obsessing over iced coffee and being a yenta, or it's like funnier character. It's not just watching Wendy on another date with her husband talking about her 19th business idea, or
exactly,
you know, Candace like pretending, you know, whatever. It's I think it's funnier actual characters who can handle being on their own a little bit more. And so, you know, different situations will work for different shows. But I was expecting a lot worse from this season. And so I'm just pleasantly surprised because I'm loving it. I think it's like, so funny. I thought the episode last night was so funny. You know, really again, the violence is never great. It's never great to be like, oh, you push someone and you hit somebody. That's never going to be great. I'm not saying that that was good. I'm just saying the reaction from the audience is a little more over
the top. I think I'm going to, for today's episode, I am now like saying this one time and I'm not going to say it anymore because I'm sick of saying it. Violence, of course, is never good. Yada, yada. I'm sick of saying it. Why do I have to like reiterate this every time? Like, you all know we feel this way. We all agree. We all as a group agree that this is so.
Like we're kind of cheering it on too. It's like, oh, you know, that violence is never good, but LOL, it was just plastic. Like, I get how it's like, sounds like that, but it is also, or on other shows where there have been a slap, you know, sometimes the reaction is like, oh, but this is worse, and you go over it like a Zapruder film, like whose fault was it, Candace or Monique's, you know, and who was the worst? Well, that was a lot worse of a fight. It was like a hair clutch, and it was,
a really chasing bad around fight. A restaurant,
and it was a lawsuit, and it was a, you know,
there were also like, a lot of other sort of cultural issues that were embedded into that. And I just want to say, I'm just saying that like when we get to this fight later in the episode, if you don't hear me say violence is never, no one should ever do, violence is never good, don't assume it's me saying I'm down with violence. It's me just getting sick of having to say it, okay? I've said it here at the top of the episode, and we all know it going forward. From me, Ben Mandelker, okay?
Okay. So Teresa walks into the Zentuary Healing Center. I can't.
I mean, hilarious. This is
what does
like,
that even mean, the Zentuary?
Oh, well, I think it's Sanctuary? Actually, it's a spinoff of Zensations of Newport Beach.
Zensations.
Zensations, our favorite store.
But Zentuary, this doesn't even make
sense. It's a Zen Sanctuary.
It would have to be Sanctuary. So they're trying to say like sanctuary, but it also has like kind of penitentiary. I'm trying to think with other ARYs.
Zentuary. It almost is it like Zen in the month of January? I don't know.
And Teresa's like, oh my God, I love your show. I got so many crystals. And she's like, yeah, you know what crystals do? They absorb negativity and just like energy that's not yours. They absorb. Shut the fuck up. No, they don't. What do crystals know? Crystals are like, you know, hey, we're just here to absorb energy that's not specifically yours. Okay. We're going to tune to your energy and then just absorb all the foreign energy that's not your. Crystals aren't that smart. Shut the fuck up, lady. I don't believe a thing you said with your stupid name store.
I feel so bad for the crystals that are around Teresa. They're like, hey, have you guys seen Jessica Crystal? Oh, yeah, she's not coming out today. She had to absorb Teresa Giudice. Oh, no.
You know, she absorbed Teresa Giudice, and she absorbed her old hairline energy and can no longer see out of her eyes. So we're going to just give her some time to recover.
Poor Jessica Crystal. I also love how everyone walks in and goes,
Jessica Crystal has to have sex with Louis Crystal every day, 5 times a day now. So she doesn't come to lunch anymore.
Jessica Crystal just threw a glass against the wall. She absorbed too much. She went
all
too
the other
far.
Crystals are like, I'm not even a crystal anymore. I will not do this anymore. I refuse to be in this crystal shop.
There's one crystal that has a giant flower on its chest. It's like, I don't even want to be around Jessica Crystal anymore.
Hey, why is that crystal dressed like a hemorrhoid?
So I'm also amused that every time someone walks into Zentuary, they're like, they love how it smells. Because we're just like,
oh my God, I love how it smells so nice in here. Oh my God.
And it And Jennifer comes in later. She's like, oh my God, baby. It smells so nice in here, baby.
Can I tell you what does not smell nice? This car. Okay. I bought this car used, which, you know, of course, because like I'm a money saver. I'm fiscally responsible, guys. So I got a used car, which is great. It had like 1,000 miles and it smelled fine, you know, because, you know, I'll smell it. And I kind of smelled like new car. It had new car smell still because it only had 1,000-something miles. And guess what? I drove that car for a day. I left it in the valley heat one day and I came back in here and it smells like it's been marinated in hamburgers. You know, when you eat fast food in your car and it has that smell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I called, I said, this car smells like hamburgers. And they were like, well, sir, you bought the car. I said, I'm not saying I want it back. I'm saying it smells like hamburgers. And he's like, well, I don't know why, because have you eaten a hamburger in it? I said, no, I'm not. I didn't eat a hamburger and then call you to complain that the car smells like a hamburger that I ate.
Like, it smells that does like
somebody
happen.
Else's. He said, well, the lady only had it for 2 weeks. And I said, did she go to In-N-Out and then rub the hamburger buns on the floor? Yes or no, sir? I mean, what do you want from me? What, they're trying to hamburger blame me. I don't even eat hamburgers. Fuckers.
There's going to have to be a USA procedural TV show starring you. It'll be called The Nose. Because the sense that you are able to pick up. When we were walking around Europe, Ronnie would be like, I smell fish. Do you smell fish? There's something fishy going. There's like a fish smell over here. Do you smell that? It smells like old paper. There's old paper. Like, you're going to be solving crimes with your nose. Like, this is going to be the next USA hit.
It's because I smoked since I was like 13 years old until a few years ago. I quit smoking like, what, 5 years ago or something. And now I guess I'm starting to get my smell back or something.
You smell everything, though.
I'm just not used to having a nose. It's like I'm like an alien who just got a human sense of smell. I'm like, this is disgusting.
We're just all nose blind at this point. We're just used to all these things, but you're smelling the world for the first time. And
it's disgusting. I'll tell you, let me tell you something about hamburgers. The world. Let me tell you something about the world. It's trash. Okay. It's just a big heap of garbage. So we're doing a great job. All right, everybody. Your shop is beautiful. I smell so good in here. Okay. So then she sees a huge Buddha head. And she's like, oh, my God, I love the Buddha head. Is that for sale? Because I got a party coming up. We like that party with Buddha. I was like, that's not – Buddha is not here for your entertainment, ma'am.
Okay? But also she goes, she's like, yeah, I'm having a party. It's called Tipsy in Tulum. I'm like, what? But this is a Buddha head. I mean, do we tell her where Buddha, like, where Buddhism is more popular? I mean, I don't know, like.
Yeah. Could you leave Buddha out of this? Like, Buddha, like, what did Buddha do? He sat by a fucking tree. He never even ate anything, okay? Well, that's not true, because he was big, right? Okay, here's something I don't understand. Why is there a fat Buddha that we see sometimes in culture, and then we see this skinny Buddha who's, like, all ready to go out? Like, this Buddha is snatched. He looks Buddha like yo-yos. Ready for the club. He's Buddha looking yo-yos. Good, this Buddha.
You should see in Thailand, there's a reclining Buddha. I went to this temple and there's a big old Buddha on its side, just reclining. And you know, that Buddha is someone who went out. That's the Buddha who just came home. It's like, girl, I am exhausted.
I think I just they went don't understand there these different the representations of Buddha. They're like, this is, you know, this is Nutrisystem Buddha. This is like regular, I mean, I don't know what it is. I love all the Buddhas. I just think it's interesting. Like, one is getting invited to Tipsy and Tulum party. And one's not. You know what I mean?
I'm like, is Tulum known for its, like, being a Buddhist epicenter or anything like that? Or is that just me?
I mean, Tulum to me is known as being a thought from Southern hospitality place to go. Because, like, every thought, man and woman, comes from there. So... Or goes there, at least.
Tulum is definitely, it has carved out a place for itself here on Bravo, because really over the past 2 years, there have been so many stories that happen in Tulum off camera and that have really impacted the show. Like, Tulum is almost like the new Twitter, right? Like, you come into a new season, it's like, what happened in Tulum that affected this play, this season?
Time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Nancy's love story could have been ripped right out of the pages of one of her own novels.
She was a romance mystery writer who happens to be married to a chef.
But this story didn't end with a happily ever after.
When I stepped into the kitchen, I could see that Chef Brophy was on the ground, and I heard somebody say, call 911.
As writers, we'd written our share of murder mysteries. So when suspicion turned to Dan's wife, Nancy, we weren't that surprised.
The first person they look at would be the spouse.
We understand that's usually the way they do it.
But we began to wonder, had Nancy gotten so wrapped up in her own novels?
There are murders in all of the books.
That she was playing them out in real life? Follow Happily Never After, Dan and Nancy on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Happily Never After, Dan and Nancy, early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Peyton, it's happening. We're finally being recognized for being very online.
It's about damn time. I mean, it's hard work being this opinionated.
And correct.
You're such a Leo.
All the time. Yeah. So if you're looking for a home for your worst opinions.
If you're a hater first and a lover of pop culture second.
Then join me, Hunter Harris.
And me, Peyton Dix, the host of Wondery's newest podcast, Let Me Say This.
As beacons of truth and connoisseurs of mess, we are scouring the depths of the internet so you don't have to.
We're obviously talking about the biggest gossip and celebrity news.
Like, it's not a question of if Drake got his body done, but when.
You are so messy for that, but we will be giving you the B-sides, don't you worry. The deep cuts, the niche, the obscure.
Like that one photo of Nicole Kidman after she finalized her divorce from Tom Cruise.
Mother, a mother to many. Follow Let Me Say This on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to episodes everywhere on May 22nd, or you can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app on Apple Podcasts.
All right. Well, I only did one thing. I said Teresa saying, "When I think about the loom, I think very little clothing, et cetera, et cetera."
Why is that? I've never thought of Tulum this way. I always thought of Tulum as like the really glamorous place, like the most glamorous place to go to. But Teresa's just, I think she just fucked a lot in Tulum. So that's her thing. She's like, "You know what you do in Tulum? You don't wear no clothes. And you give Louis whatever he wants all day, every day." It's like, I don't know. What if we didn't marry a sex addict? You know, can we just, is there somewhere to have lunch? Can we just have a lunch party?
A lunch party, yeah. Lunch themed dinner party. So Teresa's like, she tells the lady at Sanctuary, like,
"Yeah, I'm like, you know, like spiritual, you know, like, and you have like so many Buddhas, you know."
I'm like, "Yeah, Teresa Giudice, a real poster child for spirituality in New Jersey."
Yeah. And the lady's like, "Oh, that Buddha, that one's not for sale. I'm so sorry." Which we know that this lady is easily bought, because we see the Buddha later at Teresa's party. They pointed out, they're like, "The Buddha head that was not for sale." So this lady is such a fucking sellout. That's why she can't even properly have her, first of all, the name of her store is stupid. And then she can't even do crystals right. She's like, "Yeah, crystals, basically, they take away negative energy and also oil change. They'll do an oil change. Really good at refilling your coffee." It's like, what are you? You're just making stuff up, crystal lady.
I didn't realize I was the same Buddha head. I must have misread it. I thought it said this was not the same Buddha head as the one. But I guess it makes sense.
I don't think it said it was the same one. They showed the Buddha head and they said the Buddha head, didn't they?
They pointed. And the question is, did it say the Buddha head that's not for sale, or not the Buddha head that was not for sale? You know what? Honestly, I don't really remember. And we're just going to have to see how it shakes out. I'm sure it'll be in the notes.
Yeah. Well, why are people even listening to this? They're like, "You know what? I came here to find out this information. These idiots don't even know. You know, I'm going to somebody else." And I wouldn't even blame them. I would just say, "You know what? I'll give you a ride to the other podcast. Get in my car. I'll take you over there."
So Dolores and Jennifer Aiden come in, and Dolores is like, "So, are you excited for your party? Listen to me. I'm incredibly excited. Can't you tell? Enthusiasm dripping out of all my pores.
You know what I got? I got a glitter person. I got fire dancers."
Does Teresa have fire dancers often? Or is it just Bravo that I'm just... What's with the fire dancers?
I don't know.
When did this become an industry that people were like, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to become a fire dancer." Like, here's what I hear about the economy. That it sucks. How are fire dancers making it? Like, how are literally, like, everybody else... How is everybody else out of work except fire dancers are, like, on every TV show?
And why are they everywhere? Like, I feel like they go into like rural Montana and they're like, "Oh, well, here we are on our Montana retreat. Here come some fire dancers." It's like, they've got fire dancers in rural Montana too.
Fire dancers have really good PR people because they're at like the most random parties ever. And they're they're like, hey, you know what we're celebrating today? Semi-trucks. We've got some fire dancers. Like, of course you fucking do.
But I have
to
say,
you know, I live down the street from a fire dancer in Texas. Do you know that?
I live
down the street from this gay couple. One is the ex-constable of the town. And
there's constables?
Yeah, we have a constable. Because I didn't want to move in there because he would park his constable car on the corner of the street, I guess, to scare people away from crime. So you would turn onto my street and it's like, constable! And I would always like slam on my brakes because I'm one of those.
Beware of
and even if I wasn't speeding, I'd be like, oh my God, please don't pull me over. And anyway, one day I was walking, and I was like, oh my God, there's a fire. Not walking, driving. Why am I lying? I'm telling like the dumbest little lie. So I was driving and I stopped because I saw fire and it's got a lot of woods around it. And I stopped and I rolled down my window, you know, just to yell fire because I'm not going to actually get out. Like, who are we kidding? But it was a guy twirling fire. And then I saw him on a walk and I said, I saw you fire dancing. He's like, yeah, I do that in our backyard. I was like, that is
a weird hobby
to pick up.
It's a weird hobby. Like, it's a weird, weird. I just don't understand the compulsion. But you know what? You know what? Go with God. And enjoy.
Well, at least I can call him flaming now without getting in trouble.
That's right. Well, by the way, I have to say, huge amount of growth for Teresa that she had, like, for this Tulum party. She got a glitter person and a fire dancer, but she used some restraint and did not bring in a focaccia person, someone who does moots. And probably, you know, whatever else would happen at a typical Teresa Judez party.
Mutz.
Face painting.
Mutz. Okay, so I'm all over the place today. Okay, so then she's like, yeah, I don't want no clothes of this. So then we go to Envy, Melissa's store, which is double the size now. So now it's
Melissa's
like two
version.
So now it's like two glasses kiosks at a mall put together.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like when you have like it's not just like a kiosk. It's a kiosk with like a little seating area now. So Melissa is doing her thing where she pretends to be working there. And she's like, oh, my God, guys, you know, the store looks great right now. This is really big for me. You know, the store is like double the size, which means we have twice as much inventory that we're not selling. And I'm just like so proud right now. And like this is the most amazing thing that's ever happened to Envy.
I have more space for Chanel purse knockoffs that I get from Canal Street now. It's crazy in there. It's like literally nuts. So Melissa does nothing for me. Sorry. You know, I'm not a hater. People are like, Ronnie, why are you such a hater, Melissa? I don't really hate. It's kind of like that Vanderpump Rules. Like, you're not important enough to... I'm just bored, you know? She's like, okay, here's what's going on in my storyline, guys. Antonio went to college. I'm like, okay, I'm exhausted. Just move on. Move on. Fast
Ronnie,
forward.
How dare you say that? Listen to what's been going on. It's been almost a year at its new location, and I'm like, I'm so hands-on. And I wanted to move my store closer to where I live now in Franklin Lakes. And we moved into a space that's like in an awesome town. And like the foot traffic is unreal. It's thriving. So, I mean, I don't know how you could say she's boring. I think that's like a pretty exciting piece of backstory there, personally.
Yeah, when she said, you know, we haven't had a fashion show for a couple of months because you don't have any fashion. What are you talking about with this? Can we stop faking like you have actual original fashion? And also, I can never get behind this because you robbed us of the original posh fashion show. You're no posh fashion show, ma'am. The drama cannot compare, and neither can the terrible clothing. I mean, yours is just basic. At least Kim D's terrible clothing was fun.
I think posh fashion show is going to come back now that it seems like Kim D and Teresa are friends again. So I think posh fashion show, I'm going to, fingers crossed, our own sweet, sweet Kim D Piola is going to bring it back for us.
I would love a nice competing fashion show episode.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Jersey Fashion Week. And then there could even be a bougie kids fashion show. There really could be so much that happens.
Yeah. They're like, so, hey, guys, has anybody noticed that all the pleather farms are missing pleather cows? It's like, well, it's because the it's Jersey Fashion Week.
So Melissa, on the heels of saying that she's so hands-on, now says, oh, yeah, well, you know, now that the house is done and Antonio's off to college, I can get back to, like, focusing on the store. I'm like, well, it sounds like you were really hands-on right there if you had to take a 3-year break from going into your store to help your kid.
So Danielle comes in and they have a pretend fashion designer off, which is my favorite thing, where they're, like, trying to pretend each of their careers is, like, super important in the fashion industry. So Melissa's like, oh my God, we have like models and I have 16 models. It's going to be so great. And Danielle's like, oh yeah, I had 7 to 8 models. That was total chaos getting that many models. I'll tell you that. So I know what it's like having models, right? We're both people who got models. Am I right? Right.
Well, I have 16.
Well, I have 7. That's a lot of models.
But I have 16.
I have 7 models. Am I right?
So then Daniel's like, wow, look at that number. Wow. And Melissa's like, you know, the first thing that comes down has to be like the best thing in the fashion show that 5 people are going to be at. So I'm just trying to figure that out, you know, like, cause, you know, you need to wear something from Envy in my, you have to be my model, by the way, Danielle. You really have to be it. You have to be in the Envy fashion show.
Oh, God. So Melissa's like going through a rant, you know, they're picking stuff to wear or whatever. And then back at Zensation's sanctuary with the other ladies. So Teresa's like, guys, let's do some healing now. So we go through a healing session with this lady that I don't trust. And it actually turns out to be my favorite scene of the season. Because she's like, okay, ladies, I just want you to take a nice deep breath and imagine anything that's been bothering you. And so they start doing the sound bowl things. And then we just see the women going through all of their traumas in their head. And when it gets to Dolores, I started dying. It's like, please let go of any of the traumas you may be experiencing. And it just cuts to Dolores going, I'm a slob.
And it's kind of like, sounds like it's underwater and distant or whatever. It's like slob, 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 slob. So then they wake up again and Dolores goes, you know what? My mind's too fucked up to be cleansed right now. It's just not happening. My mind doesn't shut off.
So she's like, oh, all right, listen, you're not healing shit, but I would like some large stone butterfly wings. You have those? And she's like, oh my God, guys, this tree is connected to abundance and growth, and it's great for business. So if you're starting a new adventure, what would be great for my business is getting this tree. Okay.
Oh, no, my crystal tree just wilted because it absorbed all your energy. Okay.
Oh, my God, my crystal tree is leaving the room and saying it's not divorced yet, but apologizes profusely.
Oh, my God, Jessica Crystal is crying. She's saying she's a slob. So Dolores is like,
oh, I definitely want the abundance tree because Paulie and I are going to be opening a business together.
Opening up a business, baby. I got a business. Are you going to be on a step and repeat at Danielle's function? Because I sure as hell wasn't, baby.
It's eco-electric.
Oh, so like economical electric?
No.
Electric for the economy?
No. It's actually just, it's electric. That echoes. It echoes throughout neighborhoods. One person turns on their light, another person turns on their light, another person turns on their light.
Oh, it's like that song, Eco, Eco. My grandma and your grandma sitting by the fire. Your grandma said to my grandma, gonna light my grandma's fire. It was an eco, eco, eco electric, right?
You, it's the first time I've ever heard that song where somebody started a grandma on fire, but.
Was it Flag Boy? Huh?
So, Jen's like, what's up with this divorce, baby? You're gonna start a business when he's not divorced yet?
I'm gonna start a business for somebody who's married already. Married people can start businesses. All the divorced people can start businesses.
And she's like, listen, he can't do more than what he's doing, okay? Marriage can take 20-something years to end. We all know it. That's how it is.
You know what? Marriage right now in my life is not the biggest thing. You know what my biggest thing is right now? Having fantasies of slamming Jackie Goldschneider's head up against a wall for calling me a slob. Violence is never the answer.
Violence is never the answer. The answer. The answer. The answer. The Echo Electric coming soon. Okay. So then Jen's like, where's the ring? He said he had a ring. Where's the ring? And Dolores is like, listen, I'm not thinking about marriage right now. Can we get over it? So Jen's like, well, he's invested, so that's clear. By the way, you missed a shit show at the housewarming party, baby.
Oh, yeah. There were fights in every corner. Unlike Envy, which has shit in every corner. There, I said it, Melissa, I have to tell you. So Melissa, and then we go back to Melissa and Danielle at Envy, and Melissa's like, by the way, what did you think about the party the other night? That was such a great party that I had. Everyone fought. Like, I definitely earned myself another year on this show, right? And Danielle's like, yeah, that gift situation was crazy what happened there. That was crazy. Listen, let me tell you something. As someone who did that to my brother, let me tell you why she did it. And she goes, Melissa's like, but did you send a gift to your brother, though, through your friends, and he was going to have a big party for the baby? Was it basically, did you have a public display of your gift, though? And she's like, nah, I didn't. Never mind. I won't say it.
Because Danielle's trying to come in here with her own family storyline, and Melissa's like, no, I'm sorry, we've already got that. So before you even tell me what you did with your brother, let me remind you that it's nothing compared to my family storyline. Yeah. And I've also got 16 models and you had 7. So yeah. You might just sit in the back seat, okay, while I drive this scene. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, when you did it, it was a personal thing because it was real when you sent your gift to your brother. But this was not personal. It was a spectacle. So we go back to the other we go back to the Zentuary, and they're talking about the same thing and everything. And they tell Teresa that, you know, Joe threw the card in the fire and everything. And Teresa's like, you know, she's not surprised. And she goes,
I mean, the only thing that was in the card was congratulations on your new home. Okay, like it wasn't an olive branch. It was just like a gesture.
Which actually is quite nice, because which one of them sent this, Melissa or Teresa? But you remember years ago when it was congratulations on your used home?
Yeah.
Wasn't it that Teresa sent that to Melissa and Joe? She's like, congrats on your used home.
I remember that happened. I don't remember who said that.
I don't either. It was That's one hilarious. Of them. That shit was so funny. So I think it is nice when someone says congrats on your new home. You know what I mean? Especially when it is technically used. So the producer's like, but why did you send your brother a housewarming gift? She's like, I'm not going to take the credit for that. I don't want to take the credit for that because that was on my husband. You know, he was like,
I was like, I ain't kissing nobody's ass, Louie. And he was like, you know, like, it's a nice gesture, babe. And I was like, okay, I'm fine, you know.
Well, so then John, I guess, was talking about the big 15-minute meeting you had. It's like,
yeah, I mean, it was basically just like to clear his name that he was like not a drug dealer. But meanwhile, he was like, he was a drug dealer.
You know, most housewives try to be subtle. They're like, right. I'm just going to plant something here and then try and take that person down. But I'm going to act innocent. And Teresa's not. She's like,
yeah, I was trying to bring him down. So that's why we met for the meeting.
So she's like, yeah, it was a drug dealer. And Dolores is like, well, Paul said he brought up the Gia analogy. How could he? How could he bring up an analogy that somebody else brought up that was an analogy when you still don't know what an analogy is?
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting to. How many years are we going to say the word analogy and you're not going to ever understand what it means?
And Teresa's like,
oh my God, why is John talking about my daughter anyways? Next time I see him, I'm going to be like, take my daughter's name out of my mouth. He can go fuck himself down.
So Teresa's mad that John referenced Jackie's analogy. She's mad that she's mad that he referenced something that Jackie said while she's simultaneously excited to court Jackie to come to her side, even though Jackie was the one who actually said it.
Yeah, because you did the magic thing around Teresa. You said something involving anything around her children where she can be like, you said something about my daughter.
Yes.
So then back to MV, Melissa's like, oh my God, you know, everywhere I turned, someone was arguing with something at that party. And Danielle's like, yeah, you know, I know that me and Jay Aiden was at the bar and we were talking and having a conversation. It started getting a little heated because she started talking about the charity event I threw. I was like, what are you talking about with that? You know, like to say like I'm stealing for the charity and shit. And Melissa's like, you know, to say you steal from a charity, I mean, that's deep. That is really, really deep. Now, if I was stealing from a charity, it would be a much bigger charity than yours, because I'm just basically, I have bigger charities. What's your charity again? I'm sorry. Was it the charity for hardly any models in your show?
I mean, to think that they would say that. And so Danielle is like, I mean, to think that I step on people to get ahead on life, which, by the way, it is a funny implication, just implying that Danielle has gotten ahead anywhere in life.
Jeez.
Like, you have to get ahead in life before you can be accused of stepping on people to get ahead in life.
But also, the people that you step on to get ahead are successful people. You know what I mean? They're like other They're like other people that you're using to get ahead. They're not like, and I'm not saying hairdressers aren't successful. I'm just saying on the path to fashion success, you don't step on a hairdresser's head. You step on a fashion designer's head. You know what I mean?
Right. And Jennifer is so mad that that Danielle is stepping on people's...
What am I worried that hairdressers are going to be mad at me? I have none, so fuck off.
But sorry, Melissa, Jennifer is accusing Danielle of stepping on people to get ahead when Jennifer is literally demanding to have more presence on a step and repeat. Like, you literally want to be... you want to step on the step and repeat.
So they're talking about Jen, how it's getting ugly with Jen. And Danielle's like, you know, when somebody paints a horrible picture of you that ain't you, that hurts. That really, really hurts. So now I got to paint a picture of me, and it ain't even me, and it hurts. That's what hurts.
It hurts when someone paints a horrible picture of you that's not you. Now let me tell all of America about my terrible father once again.
No kidding. And my terrible brother and my terrible bitch sister-in-law.
Dad's crying into his fist again.
That man is totally biting his fist somewhere. Like,
So then back to the healing center, Jennifer Aiden's doing her innocent voice. She's like,
you know, me and Danielle kind of had that about a charity thing, and all three of us have to sell a lot of tickets to that place, baby. And like, I was like, didn't you put Aiden plastic surgery on the step and repeat? And she's like, why would I do that? And you didn't spend any money. I was like, bitch, we showed up.
Yeah, you don't get placement for showing up for some charity event. Also, you're on billboards. So just say thank you. You
also,
know what I mean?
Like, I think it's like, if she should have just requested that. She should have said, can we put Aiden plastic surgery on the step and repeat if I'm showing you?
No, she's just trying to find reasons.
But you can't, if you didn't request it and then after the fact you're upset, like, no, it doesn't work that way.
She's decided she's going to come for Danielle and she's just going to throw a bunch of shit at the wall. And we see her do it all the time. And it's just so funny when she does it that I can never even get mad because I think she's so funny. And it's like so funny that she's trying to poke Danielle. Because everyone else knows Jen by now. They're like, whatever, Jen. Okay, we're sorry we didn't put your husband's plastic surgery on the step and repeat, okay? But Danielle's like, how dare you?
Yeah, and like I've said the past several weeks, Jennifer Aiden is punishing Danielle for not being the soldier that she was supposed to be.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Hey, y'all. It's your girl, Keke Palmer, your favorite quadruple threat actor, singer, dancer, and my new role, podcaster. My podcast, Baby, This is Keke Palmer, is blowing up, y'all, because every episode I bring on an icon. Like when John Stamos and I talked about internet trolls hating on Disney adults, or when Jordan Peele explained why we love scary movies, even though the world is already creepy as fuck. Tune in to learn a little and laugh a lot, because your girl keeps it real. Listen on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
So Dolores just actually says what you just said, basically. Like, you know, I know Jen, and I'm not buying this step and repeat as a big fucking deal. Jen just doesn't like her. And I'm the one that's called a slob. I'm the slob.
But also, Jen goes off later about how, oh, well, if I have the charity event, I spend all my own money. I never expect to get paid back. Oh, really? Because you're expecting to get paid for doing this one for free advertising for Aiden surgery. So which is it, Jen? You know, she's so full of shit.
What was the last time she threw a charity event on this show, by the way? I'm just trying to remember. I'm sure she threw something. I feel like she threw something for her brother. But
she did a gay thing, but I don't remember if it was a charity event.
All I'm saying is maybe...
Didn't she do a gay thing? And she did like a jewelry thing.
She did. I'm not saying it from like a gotcha thing. I'm just like, I really am trying to remember what her last charity thing was so I could like go do the research. So anyway, Dolores is like, you know what? I wrote it off as it's her first time. I don't think she has a lot of experience.
Yeah, but she should have experience of how to be grateful, baby. We squashed it, okay? It squashed, but I'm just like, you know, now I got your number, baby.
And then we go back to Melissa and she's like, but are you feeling it from Teresa? Because, you know, like they're upset that you're cool with me and Rachel now. Right. I mean, and look at Jackie. Like Jackie tried to rip my head off, you know, and she said, you're mad at me because I'm friends with Teresa. And I'm like confused. I'm like, Jackie, are you good girl? Who's mad? Who's mad? Like, what do I care who's friends with Teresa? So are you friends with Teresa? Is she mad that you're friends with me? Is she mad? Is she furious?
And then we go back to the healing center and Dolores. Like, You know what? It was a three-ring circus in there, and Margaret and Jackie got into it, okay? I didn't expect you all to yell at her like that. And she goes, well, she's mad at me because you didn't tag her in your post on Instagram for the softball game. I'm like, oh, are you fucking kidding me? She's mad about that? So she writes, she tagged everybody but me. Okay, everyone, I want everyone to listen, okay? Zensations lady, listen in. Okay, Buddha, you hearing? And then she says, she's a fucking slob, and I fucking hate her.
And sounds like, oh, you know me, I was trying to defend Jackie Goldsnatter, but I can't even defend that, baby. I can't even defend it, baby.
And so then back with Danielle, she's like, I don't blame Margo one bit for sending that text message, because that was savage.
But if I'm going to call it and let all this, like, listen, like, when Teresa, like, middle fingers you, like, she's going to be left on the floor, like, Teresa, so, like, me and Teresa was best friends. Teresa ain't best friends with you. Boys ain't best friends with you. I'm telling you that right now. All right, I'm telling you that right now.
So back at the sanctuary, Dolores goes, I'll tell you about Jackie. Jackie thinks she's fucking better than me. And she thought she was better than you. And she thought she was better than you. And she thought she was better than that focaccia alligator there in the corner. Okay. And you know what? She still thinks she's better than the two of you. And by the way, Buddha over there, guess what? She thinks she's fucking better than you too. Lady holding the Buddha. Okay. And Jessica Crystal, I bet you thought you were out of this one. Guess what? She thinks she's better than you too, Jessica.
You know what she calls you, Buddha? Ozempic Buddha. Hope you're okay with that. All right. So, you know, she's just a user. She needs you, Teresa. She's saying, let me make friends with Teresa so that I can sell more of my book because she's popular. And Teresa's like, oh, who cares Teresa's about like, Jackie? You. Like, who cares? That's like, she's a fucking bitch. She's a fucking stupid bitch. Dolores.
This is, by the way, this is how to worm your way into Teresa's heart. She just wants to use you because you're so popular. You're going to sell more copies of her book. She's like, thank you.
Yeah. She's like, exactly. Finally, she realized. So she goes, yeah, who cares? Like, this is so funny because this is just Teresa refusing to be subtle again. She goes, yeah. Who cares about Jackie, all right? I just need her because I want Margaret to be exposed.
Like, she's not like, even.
I'm just using Jackie.
Like, just saying the quiet part out loud. Like, you know you're on camera, right? You know, like, we know you're having these conversations. We just didn't think you'd ever have them on camera, you know?
So funny. I love it. And she's like,
yeah, you know, Jackie always thought she was the smartest person in the room. Oh, please. She's sadly mistaken. You know who's a bitch? Comma. Comma's a bitch. All right? That's why I don't use them in sentences. Only periods.
So I think Teresa's like, fuck Jackie right now because she's trying to show loyalty to Dolores. But this is not going to affect what, like, anything with Teresa's plan to, like, court Jackie and use her against Margaret.
Right, because she's stated her mission to use Jackie just to expose Margaret, which we see her try and do later with such a ham-histed manner. It's hilarious. So she's like, I mean, you know that Margaret's the root of all evil, right?
And Jackie and Margaret was like this, crossing the fingers.
Do we know why Margaret's the root of all evil for Teresa, by the way? Like, I think they've alluded to something that Margaret has done, but we don't actually know what it is yet, right?
No, we know. It's because they're accusing Margaret of all the stuff that came out about Louis last year, the video with the video of him at that male retreat and all that. They're saying that Margaret contacted Louis's ex and was talking to Louis's ex and getting all of this dirt on Louis and then giving it to all the bloggers. And that's why all that stuff was exposed.
Yeah, honestly, maybe I have a Margaret bias, honestly, and I don't care because it's a TV show, but like, I just don't actually see Margaret doing that. I see Margaret gossiping about it, but I don't see her.
I see Margaret reading about it and being, because that lady was in People magazine. Yeah. She had a whole thing of like running across the country in her wedding dress to talk about her narcissistic abuse ex-husband or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And so she was already in People, but I do see Margaret being like, oh my God, did you see this lady in the wedding dress in People magazine? This is insane. I'm calling her on Zoom. Who wants to, Lexi, you're going to be here. Jeff, make us some iced coffee. All right. We're about to get some serious gossip from this girl. Call Serena from Tenafly. Tell her to get over here immediately.
Although, to be fair, Margaret didn't she like try to buy one of the pizza ovens? Now, here's the thing. Even if Margaret did do this, Teresa reached out to Laura and was like, tell me all the shit about Melissa. Like, the point is, Teresa's done all the same things that she's accusing Margaret of. And like she accuses Margaret of, when Margaret sees something on social media, it's like, oh my God, what the fuck is this? She's like, you're the one who spread it. But then Teresa comes on this season and it's like, but I saw something on social media about John Fuda, or I heard a rumor about M. Goldschneider. So Teresa's just as guilty about all this, which is why she never wins in my book. But she is winning this season because the one thing that Teresa knows how to, because Teresa's really thick. So she's just like, bling, 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 bling. And she smiles and is like, whatever. But like, Margaret is furious. Margaret and Rachel Fuda are furious this season. And so every time we go to them, honestly, it reads like bitterness. They read like two bitter people right now. I'm not saying they are. I'm saying it reads that way. And so I think the audience is like, you know what? They're just two mean people. And Teresa, you know what? I kind of like Teresa. And it's just like, they need to be laughing it off. And they'd be like, oh, whatever. She's ridiculous. I'm moving on with my fabulous life, because they're going to lose in the public sphere.
Yeah, and I think the difference in these shows always in what is going to work with the audience or what's not is fun. Teresa's at least funny. Like, she's hilarious because she's so, like I said, ham-fisted in all of this. And like, I'm using her to get to Marge, you know? Like, that shit's hilarious because she's just such a dummy. And Marge is just plain angry. And she's teaming up with people who are not fun. The Fudas are not fun. You can like them. You cannot like them. I don't care. Like, it doesn't even matter. I don't hate. I'm not a hater. I like them, okay? I think they're fine. But they're not fun. So Marge has always been fun. That's always been her saving grace. And it's turning into not fun. And I think that's gonna,
that's exactly correct. And actually, last season John Fuda was fun. This season,
John Fuda was fun. We all love a nice chill drug dealer, guys. We all love a nice chill drug. Just be a chill drug dealer. Be proud of your drug dealing days. That's still a fucking business. This is America, okay? We respect entrepreneurship in this country. And this, even if it was drugs, you still built yourself up and did something. I've watched all the drug shows. I mean, you probably would have been my hero at some point in one of those shows. Be proud of yourself.
Be proud. Yeah. And the thing is this, Margaret sees the hypocrisy and sees the double standards that are in Teresa's life, and it infuriates her. But that's ultimately what caused, like, she's gonna sit there infuriated. Teresa's gonna sit there just like blissfully and be like, whatever, and be happy. And ultimately, like, Teresa wins over and over and over again because she's just sort of like blissfully like, I'm just Teresa. And yeah, they just gotta change up their vibe.
So she's like, yeah, Marge is the root of all evil. And Jackie and Margaret were like this. And so Jen's like, yeah. And Jackie's the gatekeeper to Margaret's arsenal. She's like every single secret that anyone's ever told Margaret, Margaret's told to me, so I can destroy her. Okay, but then why are you guys saying that Margaret's the one who's always going to destroy everybody when Margaret hasn't done it? If Margaret has all of this stuff, you would all be destroyed by now. Because I'm sure she has. If she was really the type of person to bring out every single thing. And I'm sure that people are going to say, well, she did pull out that text. That was a very innocent text to pull out. Because you know Jackie said 100 times worse. And that was a pretty innocent text to be like, bitch, don't fuck with me at this party right now. You know?
Yeah.
But she would have used all of this info she has on all of you already. So I don't understand why she's getting the blame for it when Jackie's the one walking around bragging that she can use the information and ruin everybody.
I know, they really do. They obsess over Margaret's arsenal when the people who are digging into the past the most and weaponizing it against people are Jennifer and Teresa, like, for years. Yeah. This episode, like, the, you know, there are, they are constantly going into their arsenals, but it's hilarious. They just use it right against her, you know? So now they're basically like, Teresa again, just right on the nose. Goes,
yeah, she definitely has a mouth on her. So she better fucking use it and go against fucking Margaret, because I just want to take that bitch down.
I'm like, was this revenge?
It's so funny.
Is it Emily Van Camp?
So then we go to the Fudas and Margaret comes and, Rachel's like, since the dynamic between Jen Fester and I has changed quite drastically, Margaret and I have gotten closer. She's got a maternal instinct. Oh my God, my flower hurts. Hold on. Honey, could you bring me my hemorrhoid cream for the flower on the front of my dress? Thanks.
So Margaret comes in. I desperately want some coffee. Here's some coffee. Hi, sugar. Okay, what's going on? Okay,
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but what was so funny about that to me is she goes, there's something very maternal about Margaret, and sometimes she gets a bad rap because she's very direct. And then it cuts to Margaret going, I desperately need coffee.
Wow, I understand that bad rap now.
Totally understand. Look at her
walking in needing coffee.
What a monster. Wow.
She's like, you know what? But if you really get to know her for who she is, she really is a great person and a great friend. So she's like, okay, everyone, I got stuff for the girls. Okay, I got all the girls child size Snickers cream for when they want to have their first coffee. Okay, there you go, sweetheart.
So she's, look at this baby Joel. It looks exactly like me. Okay, it's my goal face. Go, run away, run away. And Rachel's like, she's a little swollen. I'm so sorry because we got her tongue tie thing done. You know, the tie. Okay, everybody, do you have an extra 10 minutes? I'm going to talk about my tongue lip tie child. And so she goes and starts talking about whatever that is.
This is time to go to the bathroom part of New Jersey. For anyone who ever wanted to see a toddler's mouth on the inside, like this is, okay, everyone, this is what her tongue looked like before, and this is what it looked like after. And now here are all the details about cutting the skin away from the tongue.
And listen, poor kid, you know, good for her. I'm so glad they got this taken care of. There's no ill will towards the child, obviously, you know, but I'm like, girl, no one needs 10 minutes of this, okay? F.
So then they go outside to the backyard, and we're just like, oh, it's a little nippy out here. Babe, it smells like dog shit here. And Marcus, it does not smell like dog shit. Stop. I won't have you talk about your backyard that way.
Listen, you know how long I've been standing up for your backyard? Ever since it was born. Right.
Rachel Fuda, you need to have more confidence. Okay, don't talk about your backyard like that. You got to talk about what's good about it. Okay, I don't smell any dog shit. I will not have that coming out of your mouth. You put a lot of effort into this backyard. Okay, it smells like nature, not dog shit.
Yeah, so then we talk about donuts and tongue-tied. Whatever. And then we talk about that some more.
By the way, Bravo. Great,
that some more.
Great job blurring out the Dunkin' Donuts logo. We definitely couldn't tell it was Dunkin' Donuts.
So Rachel's like, and then on top of that, I don't feel good either because I need another patch because my shoulder, the arthritis, it's more frustrating than it is anything because you almost take your health for granted when you feel good. And then before you know it, ow, my shoulder hurts. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just terrible how life works. One minute you're up, you don't even know how up you are until your shoulder hurts. And then you're like, you know what? I should have been happier yesterday when my shoulder didn't hurt.
Listen,
wish someone would have told me.
You know, I'm sorry about your sore shoulder, but I'm going to one-up it, okay, and tell you about Joe's PSA. Okay, he had some routine blood work. And guess what? His PSA jumped so high, I freaked out. And I know what you're thinking. It does not mean public service announcement, Rachel. Okay, just calm down. So Margaret's afraid.
I know, because at first he told me, you know what? I'm going to have a PSA. And I said, I've got a PSA. I want some coffee right now, Joe.
Here's all a right. PSA. Your backyard smells delicious. So stop talking like that.
What is the sensation in here? Smells amazing.
Smells
amazing.
You might get a crystal, it'll absorb all the smells. Jessica Crystal, get over here.
Jessica Crystal is a short court reporter, Crystal. You can't trust that bitch.
Jessica Crystal has been trying to get on the show for years and years, and I said, look. You've got a bad haircut. You're a court reporter. You've got other things you need to do, Jessica Crystal.
So, this is serious, though. So, Joe thought maybe...
We're such assholes.
Sorry. So, they start talking about how Joe could have cancer. So, Marge is, you know, rightfully crying. And they're like, I love you. You're a good person. Okay, are we done with our good people who have medical emergencies happening every 5 minutes? Okay, let's talk about that. Bitch, Teresa.
No, you know what? You know what it is? I don't even want to talk about Teresa. How about this? You know, with that at Melissa's party, you know, I was dealing with this whole thing with Joe, and then that Jackie, that fucking psycho, okay? I'll tell you, it just smells like dog shit, not your backyard. It's Jackie Goldschneider, okay? She was such an asshole. Psycho dog shit smelling lunatic.
And you want the truth? She's a nasty cut fitness. There, I said it. And she goes to Dolores, one of my closest friends, and talks shit about me. Really? Really? And that was my point when I sent that text, you know? Because I sent it to say, what, you're going to talk shit about me? Well, I got it on you. And then Jackie tells Dolores that I talk shit about Paulie, and Dolores, that was a big retaliation. Police.
So... You feel like you were defending yourself? Defending myself? I was absolutely defending myself, you idiot. What, did you have this flower in your brain also? Come on, Rachel.
And Rachel's like, well, I feel like that was a little low, Margaret. Okay, that was a little too low. It's like, you know what?
You know what would have been low? If I would have fucking screenshotted everything that she said for the last 6 years, which I did. That was low. I've got it. I've got them all here. I can use them whenever I want to. I've got them all right here. That's what I'm saying. Listen, but that would have been low.
It's just showing a glimpse. Like, I was just that was just showing a glimpse of, like, that person's character and what they're capable of. And a glimpse into my life of what I fucking put up with, which is having to take on all these insults about people being slobs. It's a lot for me. It's a lot.
She goes, you know what I did? I stuck it right up her ass with that text message. Right up.
And now she's
that's
nervous.
Why I'll always love Margaret, okay? And I said earlier in the recap, she's veering towards not fun, but at the end of the day, she's still fucking funny.
She's still...
Like,
I
apologize
her.
For nothing. I can shut that up her ass. And you know what? She's a cut fitness, too. There.
Now I think she's nervous. Like, there's nothing to be nervous about. I'm never going to show another text message, you idiot, Rachel Food. I can't believe this is my ally now.
So Rachel's like, oh my God. And by the way, do not text me. What am I going to test you again? All you do is send me pictures of tongue-tied children.
Like, and Dunkin' Donuts.
I'm not going to be texting you.
What? Did the fucking Krispy Kreme break down? Come on. Dunkin'. Hey everyone, this is the end of part one of this recap. For part two, keep an eye on your podcast feed. It is coming up in just a moment. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you on the second half.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. We want to hang with Liz Lang. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender, the incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
It was the biggest scandal in pop music. The stars of Milli Vanilli, the Grammy-winning multi-platinum R&B phenomenon, were exposed as frauds. But none of this was their idea. So whose idea was it? Enter German music producer Frank Farian. He saw the success of acts like Michael Jackson and Prince, and he wanted in, no matter the cost. So he devised the perfect pop heist. Two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? They couldn't sing. But Frank knew just how to fix that. Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's greatest controversies and takes a never-before-heard look at the exploitation of two young Black artists. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when the truth came out, Rob and Fab were the only ones who got burned. Looking back now, it's hard not to wonder, why did everyone blame them and not the man pulling the strings? Follow Blame It on the Fame, Milli Vanilli, on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.